Hello and welcome to Witchy Woman Podcast. I am your host, Danae Sweet, and this is episode 30. Holy cow, 30 episodes. This time, I'm going to talk about the horse as a spirit animal, your totem, and what it kind of means when you start seeking that energy out or start looking up what it means. My connection to horses, as some of you know, I am a little bit horse obsessed. I have been since I was little. So I really felt like I wanted to talk about it this week. I also am going to talk about celebrity witches or those that have been accused or thought of as a witch. So I'm going on a camping trip with my friends, and we're heading up to South Dakota to ride our horses, and I am stoked. We're actually leaving tomorrow at some point, and I could not be more excited. I have been obsessed with horses pretty much since I could sit up and recognize what an actual horse was. I've been riding before I could walk, and I'm really more comfortable with a 1,000-pound animal than I am with most humans. Horses really they've shaped a lot of who I am and how I deal with humanity in general. They're powerful and sensitive and absolutely beautiful animals, and they have the power to take me from an anxiety attack to peaceful with just by smelling them. I can walk out into their pasture in a absolute freaking, you know, mess emotionally, and just putting my head against their neck and smelling them, that takes me immediately from you know, spiraling out of control to grounded and peaceful within seconds. It's absolutely amazing the energy and the effect that they have on me. So I haven't been able to go camping with my horses for I thought it was 2 years, but I think it's been 3. So I am so excited. We're going up to South Dakota to one of my favorite spots near Keystone and Custer, and we're going to ride the trails, a bunch of girls and me and our horses, and we're actually camping, not like in a tent, we're camping in my friend's trailer, like in the front of their horse trailer. They have a spot where we can sleep and stay warm. We're going to cook outside, and I am going to just enjoy being grounded and connecting with nature a little bit, which is really what my soul needs right now. I crave being outside and a little bit disconnected from my phone and from the internet for a bit, and just connecting with my friends and my horse. So my horse that I'm taking is kind of a young one. I normally ride a mare, my bay mare Lady. I can post pictures after this episode. I'll post pictures in our group of my horses. But I usually ride Lady, and she would jump off a cliff for me if I told her that I needed to. She is a freaking rock star. Solid. I trust her with my life. But she had stumbled at some point in the pasture and her knee got a little swollen. It's much better now, but I don't want to risk taking her. So I'm taking my younger horse. He is an Arabian horse named Loki, aptly named because he's like the king of shenanigans. He will wear buckets on his head. He is not afraid of anything because curiosity is like his main energy. He cannot help but get into stuff. Therefore, he's been to the vet more often than any of my other horses. He's gotten smacked in the face by porcupines like 3 different times. You would have thought he would have learned, but nope. So he's had porcupine quills pulled out of his face. He got in a fight with another horse because he cannot stop screwing with the other horses. Like, he'll nip and bite and want to play. And finally, one kicked him in the face. That was like a $800 vet bill to get a bone chip out of his face. So, and the list goes on and on. He is Loki, the woman that rescued him. So I got him from a rescue in Colorado Springs. And they rescued him and they named him Loki. So I didn't even name him that. So Loki, if you hadn't known, is like the god of mischief. And this horse embodies that energy 100%. He's young. I've been riding him a little bit more to get him more in shape for the trip. But this should be really interesting because it's his first time away from anywhere here and riding without his buddies. So this will either be like I'll either come home and I will love him even more, or me and him are going to go rounds and I'm going to need a break. So I'm hoping it's the happy, happy fun trip where I love him even more because he's a rock star. So we will see. Either way, he'll make it interesting. So I'm excited to go. So anyway, I thought it'd be fitting to talk about horses as they pertain to witchcraft and paganism. I want to talk about Epona first, because I think she is the goddess that most people, when you think about goddesses and horses, I think you think of most people think of Epona first. And she is the Celtic goddess of horses, and she's honored by the Celtic tribe known as the Gauls. She actually is one of the very few Celtic deities that the Romans actually celebrated as well. And they have their own annual festival every December 18th, and that's the Festival of Epona. And they pay tribute to horses. So they make big shrines and altars in all the stables. Kind of gross, but they sacrifice animals in Epona's name. And also, I was reading, and some of the research pointed the reason behind Romans adopting Epona as one of their goddesses was because the military's love of the horse. So Roman cavalry members were all about horses, and they honored her with temples of her own, which was super cool. I thought when I was reading about that, I'm like, they actually took a Celtic goddess and basically made it their own. They didn't rename her. They made her a goddess that they also adopted and celebrated. So that was kind of neat. And okay, so the legend behind how she was born. So if you're into any kind of like Greek, Roman, or any kind of pagan mythology, you know that sometimes their birth stories or how they came about are weird, and this one's no exception. So legend says that Epona's mother was actually a white mare who was impregnated by a man who didn't like women. Ew. Just freaking ew. I'm gonna mess up this name, but Fulvius Stella, and this is in quotes, loathed the company of women. So he decided to focus his desire on his beautiful white mare instead. And there was born Epona. Ew. Just still ew. They could have come up with something a tiny bit less bestiality and nasty. But anyway, Epona is represented by symbols of fertility and abundance. A lot of times you'll see the cornucopia or young foals in different kind of drawings, and that is her. So if you see like those, you'll see the drawings, the really cool Celtic latticework drawings with the little foals inside. That's a symbol of Epona. She herself is typically portrayed either riding, a lot of times it's going to be side saddle, or taming a wild horse. She's also honored in other areas. Welsh Rhiannon is just another name for, or their version of Epona, the goddess of the horse. So that was kind of neat. And also this Rhiannon kind of ties into the stuff we're going to talk about later about the celebrities. So just kind of remember Welsh Rhiannon, goddess of the horse. Anyway, in Norse mythology, Odin, if you've seen any of those big pictures of Odin coming, you know, you'll see him with all the big clouds and this giant horse, and he's riding it, and it's got eight legs. So the eight-legged horse of Odin was named Sleipnir, Sleipnir. Bleh. So images of that horse have been found on stones and like walls dating back as far as the 8th century. So that's seriously old. This horse, I'm just going to say this horse because I can't say his name, has eight legs instead of the usual four. And some scholars are saying that the eight legs instead of four represents a shamanic journey. And that in particular, that concept points to this horse and the concept of Odin riding this horse way, 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 way back. So I thought that was kind of neat. In Norse religion, horses were used as a divinatory tool by early Western Slavic tribes. Okay. And that is called hippomancy. When I read that, I was like, Hippomancy, H-I-P-P-O-M-A-N-S or A-N-C-Y. So I saw hippomancy and I was like, there's no way they got that right. It seemed like a horsemancy or equinomancy. But anyway, it's called hippomancy, if you want to know. And that is involved the breeding of sacred horses to be used as oracles. So I thought that was kind of too cool. Like I saw, as I'm reading about this particular way to use horses, I don't know why, but it really, really, I felt connected to this. I can just imagine this whole ritual. So divination was performed when a horse walked over two spears placed on the ground in front of like a big temple or shrine. The pattern in which the horse stepped over spears, including whether or not a hoof touched the spears, all helped shamans determine the outcome of the matter that they're asking about. So I thought that was really cool. I don't know why, but like in my mind, I'm like seeing this beautiful temple and these two pretty white horses, you know, with like braided hair and parts of it with like feathers and shells hanging off their mane. I have no idea where this is coming from, but like I see them like walking over these spears and it just looks beautiful in my head. So I had to share that with you. I just thought that was neat. So I may have to, next time I have a question, I may have to like throw two sticks on the ground and walk my horse over it and see what happens. maybe we'll do that and see. I didn't see the rules of like what it meant if they touch it or what it meant if they step on it weird or whatever, but maybe I'll have to look that up and we'll have to try it out. Oh, and then so like horses in witchcraft and magic. I saw a couple little things that I thought was kind of neat. So everybody knows about the horseshoe being good luck, but hang on, iron horseshoe open in facing down keeps evil spirits out of your home. I thought that was neat. And if you find one along the road, that one is thought of as being particularly powerful against disease. So I don't know how many times I've been like walking down a horse trail or out in the pasture or something and I find an old horseshoe. So evidently I should be picking those up and putting them in my home to provide protection against a disease. Also, the skull of a horse is often found in witchcraft or different kinds of folk magic. And in some places, it's believed that a horse is able to detect bad spirits or evil spirits. So if you keep your horse's skull around after it's passed away, it makes sense that it would keep away and protect your house from evil spirits. I don't think I could do that because I bury my horses. I could never keep their skull. I do have skulls that I have found on the ranch from long ago when they didn't bury it, or unfortunately here in Nebraska, if something passes away in the dead of winter, like say when it's super frozen, you can't really dig a hole. So, you know, unfortunately those animals, like a horse or a cow or something like that, are put like out in the pasture in a designated spot, basically, which sounds awful, but it's very, very hard to dig a hole when there's like feet of frozen dirt pretty much. So anyway, I have found skulls of horses from that kind of situation where they have passed away and a long time ago somebody put them in the burial spot or the spot during the winter and that skull was left behind. So I have a couple. I did decorate one. I painted it and made it beautiful. And I did not know when I was doing this until now. I didn't know that the horse skulls were thought to have, if you put one in your home, it keeps away negative spirits or negative energy. But I do have one. I had it in my shop when I had my metaphysical shop. I had it actually decorated and on a pedestal in the window, which sounds awful, but it was so beautiful. I'll post a picture of that one as well. It's a young horse. It's because it's a smaller skull. But I actually, after reading that, I think I'm going to take it out of my she shed and bring it into the home and see if I can find a place for it that won't wig out the hubby or the daughter. But anyway, I'll post a picture of the skull that I decorated as well. Horse skulls have been found under hearthstones and doorways in a bunch of different locations in England and Wales. So it was definitely something that people used and venerated, like, or they really honored the horse after death as well and felt like their power transcended death. And I think that's pretty freaking cool. also, let's talk about horses as your spirit animal. So if your spirit animal is a horse, or you feel like it is, it's showing itself to you as an omen. Basically, it's saying you need freedom, and this horse is coming into your world to show you how to get freedom and the meaning of freedom to you. If you feel like you need to look this up, like if you've been dreaming about horses and thinking about horses and you want to look up the spiritual meanings of a horse as your spirit guide, it may mean, or as your animal guide, it may mean that your soul is searching for a way to find freedom and you want to travel. Maybe you've got a little wanderlust going on. So the horse is definitely connected to that stuff, freedom and power and autonomy. If you identify with the horse as a totem animal, then usually your kind of individual is amazing at embracing freedom and enjoying a freedom expression that is way beyond what other people experience or seek. You are different in that aspect. I definitely identify with this. I hate being tied down. I realized that we need roots, and that's something that I struggle with because I have intense wanderlust. That was why the Navy, when I joined the Navy, that's why that appealed to me so much. I was young, I didn't have kids, and I thought, you know what, I will join that and I'll have the ability to not have to stay somewhere very long because you get reassigned. You get, you know, different tours take you different places. I didn't get to go very many places. I only stayed in one tour. However, I still was able to go away from here. I ended up, you know, going to boot camp, and then I lived in Florida for a bit during my schooling for my job in the Navy. And then I moved to San Diego. And while there, I was able to go to all kinds of different places from there. So it definitely gave me that ability to be free and go do things. And even today, if I stay here too long in one spot, I get like this itch. Like I cannot be too settled down, or I just get a real big itch. And lately, that's what I think has been missing from part of my life, is that I've been stuck in one spot. I can't move. I have roots, which I, you know, one part of me says, I want roots and I want stability. And the other part of me is like, no, let's go and be wild and free. And those two parts of myself fight a lot. So for me, the horse is very, very much intertwined into what makes me, what makes up my personality, my soul, and my energy. So I definitely identify with them. Anyway, so horses also are an animal that can help facilitate a spiritual awakening. So they can help by teaching you how to create a balance between your desire for independence and your current responsibilities. So the horse teaches us when it's okay to spread your wings and fly and run and be free, and also it teaches you that just because you have responsibilities does not mean that you cannot experience freedom from time to time, or experience freedom while you have responsibilities. The horse is a domestic animal today. She is saddled and bridled and ridden by humans, but still at the same time carries this beautiful energy of power and intelligence and freedom. So by embodying that and learning from them, we can help ourselves learn how to be spiritual beings and live in this human mundane world and have this balance between the two. So if you're dreaming about the horse or thinking about the horse, you know, dreaming about it in the wild form. So if you're dreaming about wild horses, they're not bridled, they're not saddled, they're not yours, they're not in a stable. That carries or means vitality and freedom, not just like your physical body, but mentally and spiritually as well. There's nothing that can hold back a wild horse when it's running through, you know, its environment. But on the other side of that, horses are social animals. So it speaks to our human need to experience this joy and freedom with others. So if you're dreaming about this, maybe you are craving that freedom but want to enjoy that with the company of your family and friends. It's always more fun to run together in a setting, right? I thought it was interesting that Carl Jung felt that the horse symbolizes your personal power. So if you're dreaming about horses in any form, it can mean that you are looking to master your personal power in your life or your natural gifts, and that the horse is a creature of self-actualization and success. So you're craving that, or you're seeking that when you start to dream about horses. If you start seeing images of horses where they're in a stable or tied up, it could mean that something is holding you back. It's limiting your autonomy. You feel trapped. Also, be aware if you're dreaming about that, it could point to low energy levels. So really pay attention to how you're using your physical energy and your emotional energy, because horses are very, very good at being aware of how much they can give. That's what keeps them alive in the wild. I ride horses in long distances. So it's funny how, like, I'm going to go back to Lady. She's my main mare. She will tell me if I got 30 miles to go, I have an idea of how fast I need to go to keep her healthy. I watch her vital signs. I'm very, very careful about how far I push her. But she will give me signals beforehand. She will actually start turning her neck a little bit, and she'll look at me out of the corner of her eye as we're trotting down the trail. And she doesn't normally look at me. She's very attentive to where she's stepping and looking forward. So when I see her looking behind and looking at me, she's trying to gauge whether I feel like she's trying to gauge whether I know that she needs to slow down or not. Because this horse would probably do whatever I asked, even if it hurt her, because she's so very loyal. So I look, she's giving me this little, hey, I need to slow down. I'll do this for you, but I really do need to slow down. And if I pay attention to her, I can tell when she needs to. So I will slow down before I see any physical effects of needing more energy and expending too much. So they're very, very aware of it. If you've watched anything about wild horses, you know, they migrate long ways to find new grasses. I know that there's a problem in the U.S. with the BLM lands and how they manage it. So they basically have too many horses and not enough land. So they do have to move around quite a bit to find grass, but they never go too far. They only go as far as they can in one day without expending too much energy. That's how they stay alive. So you can learn a lot from the horse. Horse spirit loves to work with the element of air. So it makes sense for me. I was reading this and I'm like, I'm a Gemini. I'm an air sign. I have a lot of air in my natal chart. The horse as an animal guide can teach you a ton about working with the elements of air and working with elementals. So if you are drawn to the horse, also look to the element of air and see how you can incorporate that into your practice, into your everyday life. I thought it was really cool. I read in shamanism, the horse power animal carries the medicine that a person needs between worlds. So a horse power animal helps you connect with spiritual energies and your abilities on a very, very personal way, on a personal level. The horse helps you see things in a different way and opens up a path to your visionary gifts. So if you're clairvoyant, or if you want to work with clairvoyance, work with the horse and see how that works out for you. And also, because they're such a powerful animal, they also can help you connect with the earth. I mean, if you've been around horses at all, I immediately feel like I'm connected to nature. I'm connected to the earth. They rely on the earth to provide for them. My horses are out there in a pasture and they eat grass from the earth. They drink water that's from a well. They rely on the terrain that they live in to provide food for them. You know, of course, in the wintertime, because they're domestic horses and we don't have thousands and thousands of acres for them just to run around on all year round. And we have tons of snow. So my horses are spoiled. I don't make them dig through the snow to get to the grass. I feed them big bales of hay during the winter. So It's not exactly how wild horses are, but you get the idea. In that shamanism piece that I was reading, it talks about horse medicine teaching us the lesson of being true to ourselves, no matter what our quote-unquote bridle is. So no matter what your responsibilities are in this mundane life, you need to be true to your spirit. The horse reminds us to live in the now with gratitude for everybody that's around us. They're very social and they rely on each other in the wild to keep themselves alive. You know, they have a very social structure. There's a herd sire, a herd, the stallion that keeps them safe and shows them where to go to get to water, to go to new grass. He kind of is the direction. He points them in the right direction. And then there are other lesser stallions and other mares that help protect the babies from predators or other outside bands of horses that may want to hurt their young. So they're very reliant on each other. And we need to learn that we are also social creatures, that we rely on each other to live. Just, I'm sitting here right now doing a podcast. I rely on some person to make my computer that is dying. That's another story. I rely on the person that made the bread that I get from the grocery store, because I am not that domestic. I cannot make bread. And if I did, you probably wouldn't want to eat it. I rely on the wholesale people that I get all my candle supplies so I can make candles to use in my spiritual practice. The toilet paper that I use, somebody makes that. Somebody is involved in its creation. We rely on each other. I live in a village, a town. We rely on each other for jobs. So we have a postmaster to help get the mail here. We have the grocery store to get us food. We've got the gas station so I can put gas in my vehicle and go places. We rely on each other. Now, I'm not the most social person, but I do recognize that I need to be grateful for those that are in our community. I may not go out and, you know, have a drink with them or be very social in that respect, but I do try to be very aware that each of us are very, very connected and show some gratitude towards the individuals that they may not be in my life personally, but without them, I would have no bread. I would have no gas. I, you know, there's so many different things. So be grateful, even if you're not personally connected to those people. Just take a moment and learn from the horse and go, okay, I get it. I need you. May not, you know, have you in my life personally, but I do need you and thank you. Okay, I'll get off that soapbox. So I guess I just want to leave you with my experience with horses. Horses have always been my way to experience freedom and peace when my life is spiraling or when depression sets in. They are who I need the most besides, you know, my husband and my daughter. I need them. They know when I need for them to be still and listen. It's amazing. I can walk out to the pasture and they'll know instinctively that I'm not going to ride them today, that I just need them to stand still and let me cry with them, or I just want to sit with them and listen to them eat their grass. They will. They'll just sit quiet and they'll eat and they'll just be around me. But they also know when I need a taste of that wind in my face and feel some adrenaline rush from running through the hills. It's amazing. Like, I'm going to go back to my mare. She knows. She's a very business-oriented mare. She does what she's supposed to do, and then she goes and does her own thing. She's not the most social horse compared to my other ones. But she knows. She can read me better than any being probably on this earth. If I walk into that pen and she knows I need a little bit of fun and that wind. I need the wind in my eyes so that it makes tears, you know, you get that feeling when you're running. She knows it, and she's not a hyper mare. She's very level-headed, but on those days when I need that, she feels it, and she is like riding a rocket. She's antsy and excited, and her ears are pricked up. She's like, hell yeah, we're gonna go run, and it's gonna be amazing. So they know. They know that instinctively what I need, and I find that so comforting. I don't have to ask them verbally. They read it from my energy. And I owe a lot to horses. I do, and I try very hard to make sure that I honor them by taking care of the ones that I have. And listening to them so that I know that I know what they need, or I can recognize if they're sick, because horses most of the time won't show any signs of sickness or pain. They're a proud animal and they often don't show anything. They don't give me an idea that they're hurting, you know, outwardly. So you really have to pay attention to their energy. And in that way, they have shown me that suffering in silence leads you down the wrong road most of the time. They can be too proud for their own good, and I try to make sure that I don't make that mistake as well. So they always have something to teach me. Every time I go out, even if it's just to check their water and make sure they're okay, I can learn something from them. So I wanted to share with you something about my personal favorite animal on this earth. I love all animals. As most of you know, I have basically a zoo in my house full of cats and dogs, but horses have always had a very special place in my heart. And I believe that in previous lifetimes, I've been connected to them over and over and over again. And that's why I'm so connected to them in this lifetime. So I hope that you enjoyed a little bit of my experience with the horses and what I could find online about horses in mythology and what you can learn from them. Okay, so now I want to talk about celebrities and witches. So the last couple of years, I don't know about you, but I've seen a resurgence of witch in TV and movies and pretty much culture, just like in the 90s. I don't know if any of you guys are 90s kids, but I grew up, my teen years, my early adolescence was the 90s. So I, for one, am loving this witch movement sweeping through the U.S. at the moment. I'm not sure if it's happening in other places around the world, but right now in the U.S., it's season of the witch. I remember in the 90s, there's movies and TVs about witches, and that for sure had my attention. Some of the ones I can remember are The Craft, The Blair Witch Project, Halloween Town, The Crucible, Sabrina the Teenage Witch, The Nightmare Before Christmas, Charmed, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and Angel. They're all movies and TV shows that featured the supernatural world and included witches in a big part. It was seriously my favorite time for TV. I was thinking about some of my favorites, and I remembered that I'd read somewhere that Feruza Balk from The Craft, so she played Nancy, I read that she's actually a witch and has a witchy type metaphysical store in California. So I thought it'd be cool to see what I could find out about that and see if there are other celebrities that claim the word witch or practice some sort of pagan path. So I found a couple different things about Feruza. One, I freaking love her as an actress. She's quirky and different, and everything I love about, you know, the word witch. And, you know, seems like she really had easily embodied that in a bunch of different movies and TV shows that she did. So in an interview with Entertainment Weekly in 2017, I found a little blurb where she claims that she never was a witch, but bought an occult store called Panpipes out of pity for the owner who was going to sell it and retire, and it was really going to be turned into a Chinese restaurant. And Feruza hated that idea and went ahead and bought the store so that it could stay Panpipes. And that Panpipes has actually claimed that they are the oldest occult store in the LA area. So It was something that she did out of honor for the store and kind of pity. And she claims that she was only researching and learning about witchcraft for the role of Nancy in The Craft when she came in contact with the store. She found a person or two there that she could talk to about witchcraft and the occult for her research, and she really connected with them, and that's why she bought the store. She's actually gotten quite a bit of pushback from the witch and pagan community about denouncing her witch title. Some are saying her denial is throwing a shadow on the practice, as if she's ashamed of claiming that word, which I can understand how some people might think that. So I was looking at earlier things that she did, and like interviews and things, and I found some things on the internet from when The Craft first came out that points to her actually being a practicing witch at the time it was filmed and shortly after. Her co-stars and director talk about her and The Craft as if it was just natural for her to be portraying this character because she is a witch and she's very familiar with witchcraft and the practice. In a video, she says this, and I quote, People don't understand witchcraft. They just make fun of it. But it is something very sacred to me. And I'll post a video link in the show notes. And I'll also put a link for panpipes in there so you can see that. I don't know. If you watch that video, you can see how well she talks about, or how, I don't know how well, but how comfortably she talks about witchcraft and that path. So it makes me think that maybe at that point in her life, that was something that she did. Maybe she was a witch. Maybe that's the path that she had and it resonated with her, and maybe now it doesn't. Who knows? But anyway, on her website, feruza.org, I found that she actually has a band, and I was clicking through and clicked on her music. Holy crap, you should seriously check it out. She reminds me a lot of Stevie Nicks. I love her voice. Actually, while I was cleaning rooms yesterday at the motel, that's what I was listening to. I was listening to Feruza and her band. And although she has claimed that she's not a witch, so go to her website and click on store, and you can buy sigils that she's created. How is that not witchcraft, or at least witchy in some way, shape, or form? I'm pretty sure none of my muggle friends even know what the hell that is, so there's that. Either way, witch or not, I really love her style. I love her ability to just fly her freak flag as high as she wants. She just does whatever resonates with her, and that seems, I don't know, just very admirable, and I really like her as an actress. Maybe it resonated with her at one point in her life, and it doesn't now. So anyway, I'm just crossing my fingers for a craft too. I would love to see those women back on the screen together. I loved that movie back then. A couple weeks ago, we were home, and it was kind of a shitty, like, crappy day outside, so we stayed inside with my daughter, and I realized that she hadn't watched The Craft, so I made her watch it, and she loved it. They have a new fan in her. So anyway, let me know what you think about her and how you like her movies, and if you think she's actually a witch or if she's just pretending she's not for better press. Who knows? So the next one I want to talk about, because she was in the news, Lana Del Rey is a singer, and she announced in 2017 that she wanted the masses to join her in a binding spell for Trump. I'm going to go ahead and put that, I'm going to put an article with that in it, and then the actual ingredients and way they wanted you to do it, I'll put that there too. But anyway, they were talking to her about that, and she, when asked in an interview if she casts other spells at home, she actually said, and I quote, "I'm in line with Yoko Ono and John Lennon and the belief that there's a power to the vibration of a thought. Your thoughts are very powerful things, and they become words, and words become actions, and actions lead to physical charges. I really do believe that words are one of the last forms of magic, and I'm a bit of a mystic at heart," end quote. She also covered Season of the Witch as well, and it's a super slow, sexy version. If you're an American Horror Story fan, you know that she did that for that. I really think you should listen to it. I'll post the link to that as well. But she's definitely, she wanted everybody to use a binding to keep Trump from doing harm to others. So pretty sure that's witchcraft to me. Whether she claims the word witch or not, I really couldn't find anything online whether she's like, yes, I'm a witch, but she definitely does not have any reservations about doing witchcraft or saying that she believes that words become actions and actions lead to actual changes and charges in your life. So I think that's something that, to me, points to, yep, she's a witch. The next one I want to talk about is Jimmy Page and Led Zeppelin. And I grew up with a father that idolized those guys, and I grew up with Stairway to Heaven being basically something that I just knew by heart because it was played in the car all the time. So I thought it was cool when I started looking up things, and I did not know this previously because I listen to the music, but it's not like I'm a super fan and dig into it. So when I started digging, I found that Jimmy Page was heavily interested in Aleister Crowley, a very well-known occultist and author. And one of the first clear references of Crowley in Zeppelin's music was on the disc Led Zeppelin 3 in the song The Immigrant Song. And it can be heard where in this track you can hear the law of Crowley, do what you wilt. I thought that was freaking cool. Also in 1971, Jimmy bought Alistair's mansion that he lived in and performed many, many rituals in. There's rumors of black magic and sacrifice and sex magic in there, but Jimmy Page bought that in 1971. And when Led Zeppelin 4 finished, Jimmy Page showed the group the Book of Signs and asked each one of the members to choose a symbol to represent them individually. John Bonham chose a symbol that reminded him of the inverted logo of his favorite beer band, the Ballantine. The pin inside the circle of Robert Plant represented Maat, the Egyptian goddess of truth. John Paul Jones' symbol was used to exorcise evil spirits, and it was said that Jimmy Page actually ordered to design his own badge, a symbol that included the word Zoso. And according to research, that symbol was originally drawn in 1557 by an occultist named J. Cardin. And the planet Saturn is actually identified with the symbol most identical to the one used by Cardin in that book. And that just happens to be associated with Capricorn, which is Jimmy's astrological sign, which is dominated by Saturn. So he actually dove way into that and did some research when he chose his symbol. And I will go ahead and put that, I will put that in the comments to a link so you can see that. And supposedly, so the biggest legend that I heard was supposedly if you played Stairway to Heaven backwards, there are hidden occult type messages. I listened to it forwards once just because I love the song and I kind of wanted to get in the mood. And I couldn't find much online that, like in text and articles and stuff, that said, yes, that's what it is or whatever. But I did find a video where somebody clearly debunked that. Like he listened to it backwards and what people actually think that it says, you know, he put that in the comments and then he recorded it as they say the message is backwards and then played it forward to debunk it. So I'm going to post that and the lyrics as well. But definitely debunked. It's not true. But definitely all throughout Jimmy Page's career, you see little tidbits of the occult. So I would definitely say he was at least involved very deeply in his own occult practice. I don't know if you want to call him a witch or not, but he was definitely not mainstream. Let's put it that way. Okay, I could not do this episode without talking about the White Witch herself, Stevie Nicks. She is a personal idol of mine, and I cannot get enough of her music. I know, total stereotype for me as a witch, but I don't give a shit. I love her. My hubby took me to a concert a while back, and it was hands down the best concert I've ever been to. She was amazing. It will be near impossible to beat that night. She oozes mystery and power and magic and feminine divine. No woman on stage, in my opinion, can carry that vibe like she can. Seriously, if you have not been to a concert of hers, go. It just looks like it's part of her soul when she sings. It is fantastic. So I started looking at her early days, and when she came out with her solo stuff, and even before that, actually, they started kind of poking at her, calling her a witch because of the way she dresses, her lyrics. I looked at the song Rhiannon, which is an amazing song, and she said she just liked the name and it was not about the goddess Rhiannon, which we talked about earlier, which was a Welsh goddess that was associated with horses. She said she found that out later, and actually it just fits really well when you take that archetype and apply it to the song. It fits really well. So she had, in her words, in her earlier interviews, that song was not about a goddess. It was about a woman named Rhiannon. That's it. I don't know about that, but whatever. And it looked like the media used that word witch to discredit her early on in her career. So when she broke away from Fleetwood Mac and started doing her own shit, I think it was like the media was pissed off and were throwing shade at her, and during that time, being called a witch was probably not the best thing for your career. And she actually, in one of her early interviews, when a reporter asked her, you know, are you a witch? She said, absolutely not, get a life. Because it was hurting her, it was hurting her image, and her, how do I say this? Her appeal, her losing her appeal to the masses, if you called her a witch, back then in the 70s. So fast forward to now, she has embraced that archetype instead. She has went on to appear on American Horror Story in the Coven episode, or the Coven season. I fucking loved it. I'm not gonna lie. Coven season for American Horror Story. I've watched it twice. I've loved it. And when she peeped in and made her appearance, you know, that just about made me go over the edge. I was so excited. She has embraced that archetype, and I'll post some links to different things that she has said, but she definitely has mentioned that she definitely has come out and said some very witchy shit. So I found a website with a bunch of quotes from Stevie about witchcraft and magic and stuff, and it's called inherownwords.com/witches. I'm going to share that with you. So I'm just going to say what they are and the sources, and you can decide whether they're credible sources or not. But in 1988, so Stevie Nicks did a song, I believe with Sheryl Crow, for Practical Magic. And she said, and I quote, "I totally believe in magic because my life, I think, has been very magic. And magical things have come true for me from time to time after time." So that to me seems like she's saying, hell yeah, magic is real. In another interview in an interview with Jim Ladd in 1979, she is quoted as saying, "There's always magic to be summoned at any point. I love to live in a world of magic, but not a fake world of magic. We all really basically have a lot of magic. It's only those of us that choose to accept it that really understand it. It's there for everyone. That's the only thing that I feel that I'm able to give to people. And that's why I know that they respond to me, because I try to give them only their own magic, not mine, but theirs." I thought that was a really cool quote. It was like she was saying that she's trying to live authentically and show others to embrace their magic. So in 1998, she is quoted from having an interview with WEGQFM Eagle 93.7 as saying, so the DJ said, "You used to think you were a witch." And she says, "Yes." And in the same year, she was interviewed, it just says by Interview Magazine. She was asked on why mysticism has always been a part of her work. And she says, "Because having a little bit of the spiritual is ultimately better than having none. A long, long time ago, I decided I was going to have the kind of mystical presence. So I made my clothes, my boots, my hair, and my whole being go with that. But it wasn't something I just made up at that point. It's the way I've always been. I've always believed in good witches, not bad witches, and fairies and angels." Freaking yeah. I just love that. There's all these little tidbits. So anyway, there's a ton of different quotes of her alluding to, yeah, she's a witch. So it seems like maybe early on it was not something that she could embrace because they were trying to use it to discredit her. And she's like, fuck it. I'm just going to say, I am. This is me. Screw you. And I think at that point is when you see her popularity get crazy big, because she's not trying to hide who the hell she is. She is 100% authentic, and I am a super fan. I cannot get enough of that woman. She is a blessing to humanity at this point, in my opinion. So I love her. So whether you think she's an actual witch, or if it's a witch for entertainment purposes, it doesn't matter. She embodies the archetype like no other, I feel, right now. She is in the public. She sings. She writes her songs. If you haven't listened to the latest album that she has put out, it's 100% witchy. It is about vampires and the paranormal. It's magical, and it's just amazing. You should really check it out. I will I'll put a link to that in the comments as well, or in the show notes. That way you can can sample it for yourself. I listen to a lot of it because it makes me get in the mood, especially before ritual or any kind of spell. I love to listen to music to get me to that vibration, and her stuff can make me feel like the most powerful feminine energy I can imagine. So if you haven't tried to listen to some of her stuff before you do a ritual, do it and see, and let me know how it goes for you. See if it like takes you up a notch or not. Well, I have definitely rambled on quite a long this time, but it was really fun subjects and it was something I was really interested in and I wanted to share it with you. Please let me know what you think. If you identify with the horse as your spirit animal, please post in our group or on the page. You can find me on Facebook. You can go to our page, Witchy Woman Podcast. Please go ahead and hit like on there. I post all the new episodes. We do live videos there as well sometimes. And then I have a group called Witchy Woman Friends. You have to click to join. It is a closed group. So if any of you are not out of the broom closet yet, you can join that and no one else can see the members or what you post in there. It's a completely safe environment. There's a ton of amazing people in there. They share cool memes and ideas and they ask questions and it's a safe place for you to go to. So click to join Witchy Woman Friends on Facebook. You can also get me on Twitter, Danae_sweet_, if Twitter's your thing. I'm on Instagram, at Witchy Woman Podcast. You can also join our private coven. So we've got the coven going now. It's called the WW Coven. It is a closed group for Patreon members only. So if you are a Patreon subscriber, meaning you subscribe to one of the three tiers that I have to support the podcast, you are granted access to the WW Coven. And in that group, we're going to do Sabbat rituals, Q&As, card readings. We're going to do all kinds of cool stuff in that group. So we're basically going to try to make that our virtual coven. So if you want to join that, go ahead and go to Witchy Woman Podcast. Actually, go to patreon.com/Witchy Woman Podcast. And in that, you just click one of the tiers and then I get the notification that you joined. And then I add you to our group. You'll be asked a question that I will give you the answer to after you have joined our group. You answer the question, boom, you're in. That group I'm excited about because I have never been able to do or had the opportunity to do rituals with other people. So this to me is going to be super special. I'm crafting some rituals to do in the next couple months together. What I will do is try to keep them super simple so that you don't have to a lot of stuff to do them. It's mostly going to be present, light a candle. I'll have alternative things that you can incorporate, but basically it's going to be tailored to the simplest way to do things. That way, if you don't have all the things, you can still do them because I don't believe that magic and ritual needs all the things. I can be a little extravagant, so I like all the things, but it's not necessary. So anyway, I'm gonna kind of be a little MIA on social media from tomorrow until Sunday. I do have some scheduled posts to go on. I don't know how well my cell service will be while I'm up in the mountains, but I will try to check in with you guys if I have enough service to check in. So, all right, I am gonna go pack my stuff and get my horse's equipment ready so that we can leave tomorrow for South Dakota. Anyway, thank you so much to everybody that listens and shares and comments on our social media. I appreciate every one of you, like genuinely. So please accept my absolute gratitude for you. And as always, stay witchy. Bye.